The following programming is sponsored by Bishop Mary Enterprises, LLC. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
Real. Real. Relaxed. Relaxed. But relevant. But relevant. She's an absolute professional with a homegirl feel. Welcome to the Bishop Mary Show with Bishop Mary Foy Palmer, where she will discuss both religious and secular topics with various guests from all walks of life. So thanks for tuning in to the Bishop Mary Show. And now, here's Bishop Mary.
And top of the morning to you. Good morning. Good morning. It is Monday morning. And
yes, Monday morning. We're here.
And a cool one, too.
Very cold.
Had to pull out the winter coat. And so we're so grateful to have you here today. We thank you so much for joining the Bishop Mary Show. If you are driving, please be careful, but tune in, listen here on WWDB 860 AM. I'm here with my co-host, Brother Marcus.
Yes, Brother Marcus is here, and I'm here with the hostess, with the mostess of Bishop Mary.
All right. We're starting off early and without coffee. Well, you got yours.
Well, I got mine.
I have to get mine. Amen. So we're grateful that you are here. Thank you so much. We're going to have a fabulous show, so I need you to just stay tuned, and we'll begin in just a moment.
Hundreds of shooting incidents and multiple victims. Homicides that were senseless, cold, intentional, killing our men, women, and children in the African American communities. The question is, am I my brother or sister's keeper? Have we considered each other as neighbors? We can wait for someone to come in and save us, or we can save ourselves. The violence must end. Do your part.
You'll never have to hurt alone. When your faith is running low, I'll never lose faith in you. When the night surrounds you and you think that no one cares about you, I will go and throw my arms around you. I'll be there through whatever. Giving up, well, I won't let you. Through whatever you go through, I'm standing with you.
I'm standing with you. All right, that's a little serenade on a Monday morning.
Yes.
Thank you so much for being with us. And we are here to discuss 76ers place. Mm-hmm. Why or why not? And I'm happy that we have with us this morning, arranging and a part of No Arena Philly Med, is Chairman Emeritus of Einstein Neurology, Dr. Georgia Newman. And also, we have a board member of the Philadelphia County Medical Society and a pediatrician, Dr. William King. And, of course, my friend who has been on the Bishop Mary Show of more than a few times
everything
that he is advocating for, Reverend Gregory Holston, who is here to represent Black Philly for Chinatown. Good morning to all of you, gentlemen.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning. All right, I'm hearing y'all. All right, good morning. So first, let me have each one of you take a moment to introduce yourselves, give us a little bit of background, about a minute and a half to 2 minutes, and the group that you are with and why it's important for us to have this discussion.
Good morning. Happy to start. Happy to be here. Thank you to all of you for inviting us and to your listeners. So I'm Dr. George Newman. I am a neurologist. My whole career over 40 years has been devoted to taking care of patients with stroke and in critical care, neurocritical care. I was up at Einstein for 17 years, and I became involved in this because I wondered why there were some doctors from Jefferson and nearby areas who were concerned about the arena. So I went to the mayor's meeting and I heard something that was of great concern. And in addition to being a neurologist, I also have a PhD in kinetics. Mm. And that means how fast things come and go. And it doesn't matter whether it's molecules or whether it's cars or anything else. The principles are the same. And so when I went to the meeting, I heard something that raised great concerns on my part. And that was the person who was presenting on behalf of the mayor and the Sixers spoke about what's called a critical inflection point. And we don't need to get into the details, but in kinetics, the words critical inflection point are of concern because they basically, that's the sort of thing that occurs before an explosion. That's the sort of thing that occurs before, for instance, the economic meltdown of 2008. When you hit a critical inflection point, no matter what it is, it means that after you hit that point, things are out of control. You mm-hmm. cannot predict what's coming.
Mm-hmm.
And there they were talking about basically the potential for gridlock and the idea that there would be uncontrolled gridlock, that even a chance of that occurring is what got me more seriously involved. And so I got a copy of the report. I'll sometimes refer to the report as JMT, but this is the Sixers report on traffic. And the JMT report basically lays out some things that we'll get into later and explains why there is a high risk of uncontrolled gridlock in Center City associated with the Sixers game.
Wow. Thank you so much, Dr. Newman, for sharing. And you, Dr. King.
Hi. I'm Dr. Bill King. I'm a pediatrician here in Philly. I've been practicing for 30 years. In Germantown with at PamCop.com. So that's the practice that took over Al Gaskin's practice up in Germantown. My name is William King. I'm not related to the great internist William King, who is up on Germantown Avenue. If you see above me here, I'm just showing the. That's his old poster that says William King, M.D.
Yes.
So with his passing, his staff brought that over to me. So
What an honor.
I'm not the original William King, but I'm
you're continuing
the legacy of the great William King, like doctors in Philly. In West Philly, Dr. Huffman and Dr. Daniels and I are practicing over at next to Misericordia. So where Ted Whitley used to practice. So
he
finished his career with us. He's doing great. He's 85.
Oh, wow.
I'm also a deacon at White Rock right there on
53rd and Chester.
Yeah.
Hello, deacon.
as you know, is almost as legendary, as legendary as you, Archbishop.
Of course, we know the great president,
yes,
our
you
national president,
well.
Dr. Bill Shaw. We were honored to give him a Lifetime Achievement Award under my organization, Philadelphia Council for Mercy, last year.
Right.
That's correct. What a stellar man.
Yeah. And, I'm here, in the same way that Dr. Newman, is a long time, just general practice pediatrician, just dealing with families, coming and going. All across town, the problem we have now, I happen to love Chinatown, and I know you know, I just enjoy everything about Chinatown. My dad was been out west, and so I was one of the few little black kids who knew how to eat dumplings and stuff when I was a kid in San Francisco. So I really, when I came here, you know, 30 years ago, Chinatown was one of the first places that I really felt comfortable. But what I found, I went to the same meeting that Dr. Newman and one of my old colleagues, Randall Drain, was there too. And when we saw the presentation with the mayor saying that the Sixers place is getting ready to happen and it's going to be right next to, you know, 10th and Market, we said, no, that can't be right. We can't be putting it at 10th and Market. That would block off Jefferson and it would block off Pennsylvania Hospital. They can't do that because the Vine is right there.
That's right.
So we can't. Hahnemann is closed. We can't get anything through. Mm. That won't work. I know she doesn't mean that. And then as we listened, obviously, we also, you know, Chinatown was begging the other communities to speak up. And when I was in the meeting, I was really upset seeing the Philadelphia Council of Clergy, because I'd worked with the Council of Clergy for all through the pandemic, you know, trying to get vaccine awareness. And
you mean Black Clergy of Philadelphia?
Yeah, Black Clergy of Philadelphia. Yes, right. Sir. Right. But I worked with them for, you know, all through the pandemic. And so I was really surprised to hear, you know, the Black unions and Black clergy implying that the Black community that we thought this was a good idea. Everybody, people that I talked to in West Philly or Germantown or South Philly or North Philly, they said, no, we like South Philly Sports Complex. I mean, what are you talking about? I didn't know we were trying to move the stadium. Why would we do that? Mm. So we saw no good reason. We didn't see any good reason to move it. And medically, this gridlock thing is something that cannot be fixed. Mm. We have looked at the math. It is unfixable and it will destroy SEPTA. So there's just no good reason to move it. Spending money to build something, to build something that is a bad idea, just because it'll be a lot of jobs to build a bad idea doesn't mean it's a good idea.
Hmm. I like what you said, you know, the math. The math is not mathing. Something doesn't seem right. So, but we thank you. We thank you.
And now to Reverend Holston.
So again, so glad to be with you, and hearing what both of these doctors said kind of confirms much of what many of us have been saying. The more you hear about this plan, the more people oppose it. It was a poll taken that said 55% of Philadelphians were against this arena, but it went up to 69% the more information they got. And so this is really a bad deal for everyone. But my involvement of this is kind of similar to Dr. King in the sense that Black Philly for Chinatown really developed because we had a sense that people were saying the Black community completely supported this. And we knew that was simply not the case. Mm-hmm. It's about Black Philly for Chinatown has sent a letter to the mayor. It's about 200 signatures of leaders, community leaders, block captains, faith leaders, organizers, all across the city, who are just simply saying, let's hold up on this. This doesn't make sense. But more importantly, the people of Chinatown, the impacted community, has said no. And so that is fundamental to what I believe, who has fought for so many communities for so many times that their voice need to be heard. And when they speak and say no to a major development in their community that negatively impacts them, Chinatown businesses, according to the Sixers impact statement, say at least 50%, maybe even more of their businesses will be damaged by this mm-hmm. project, meaning the Chinatown we know today will no longer exist. And that's the Sixers impact statement. That when you see that and the community crying out, saying no, we're supposed to stand with that community and say no as well. And that's how I got involved and wanted to make sure that people understood that Black Philly was standing behind any impacted community that is damaged or could be destroyed by development.
Reverend Holstein, I appreciate that you are speaking on behalf of the Black community. I have a listener who sent me a question who said, oftentimes when the Black community was annihilated, I think that's what they mean by it. They spelled it kind of wrong, annihilated with our history, Cecil B. Moore Avenue, formerly Columbia, Rich Avenue now, with all of the gentrification, our history was wiped out. And we did not get a lot of support. Decisions were made and structures occurred. If we are an example of what has happened when those in power make decisions without our consent, do you think that they want to wipe out the oldest Chinatown, historical Chinatown in the world, in the nation, the same way? Why or why not?
I would simply say, don't think of the Sixers. The owners of the Sixers are developers. Mm. They are buyers. This is what they do. This is how they made their billions. They aligned themselves with BlackRock, one of the major international gentrifiers around the world. If this is what they do, placing an arena there in North at that corner would set up a chain reaction, which would allow them to be able to not only push Chinatown out, move up in North Philadelphia and gentrify that entire area. So I believe since this is what they do and this is how they're making their money, this is how they're using the Sixers Stadium to build more profits and more money for themselves. I'm sure that they would say, though, that's not the case. But when it walks like a dog and talks like a dog and acts like a dog, it's probably a dog.
Probably a dog. We would agree.
This message goes to one of the doctors, and either one of you can answer this. As a doctor, how would this gridlock really prohibit, the services that you need to provide for, the patients, the clients?
Brother Marcus, that's an absolutely great question. So as an emergency, as a neurologist who's taken care of emergencies, stroke, that sort of thing my whole life, there are some minutes matter. Let's start with that idea. Minutes matter, okay? So let's take, for instance, cardiac arrest. That if the rescue squad, the EMS unit, gets to the person who's had a cardiac arrest, within 8 minutes, those patients do better. But if they get there within 5 minutes instead of eight, then more than 50% increase in survival. In survival, we're talking about people staying alive. Mm-hmm. And if people are seen to have a cardiac arrest, that is what we call a witness cardiac arrest, 4 minutes is the magic number. That if you get to that person, if EMS gets to the person within 4 minutes, the chances of that person surviving double. So the difference at 4 minutes is an enormous difference. And where motor vehicle accidents are concerned, the number is between 10 and 12 minutes. That if that patient, the person who's had a motor vehicle accident, doesn't get to the emergency room within 12 minutes, the chances of them achieving a good outcome, of becoming independent, of being able to care for themselves, that is nearly lost after 12 minutes. Mm-hmm. In stroke, they're saying that time is brain, right?
We all talk about that.
4 million, this number is staggering. 4 million brain cells die every minute that a patient is waiting for treatment. And the difference between their being able to care for themselves, that's what matters to me, that a person achieving independence, of being back to care for themselves, that's the goal, all right? And every 30 minutes, now we're talking 30 minutes, every 30-minute delay makes an enormous difference. You're losing almost half the people that you would have saved with every 30 minutes delay in treatment. Jefferson is a major stroke center. Jefferson's capable of taking care of these people, but only when you get them. That's the limit in stroke. For 20, 25 years, fast and stroke alerts and that sort of thing. The whole idea is getting the person to the emergency room as fast as possible.
That's good.
And gridlock is going to make that nearly impossible. And that's the concern. And so you have heart attack, stroke, trauma, cardiac arrests are the issue. It's emergency services.
Yeah, can I add to that?
Certainly.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so, you know, as a general pediatrician, you know, North Philly, West Philly, the problem we have with this location is there is only one location in the city that this will happen. There's no other place you could put a box of 18,000 people and destroy the access to trauma services and emergency care. So there are only three level one trauma centers in Philadelphia. There's Penn Presbyterian in West Philly. That treats everything west of the river. There is Temple, which now Einstein, you know, Jefferson is not a level, it's a level two, not a level one. So Temple treats everything north of about Girard or Spring Garden, but everything from the river, from the Schuylkill to the Delaware, everything from about Girard, Spring Garden for sure, so both sides, and all the way to the sports complex, all comes to Jefferson.
That's correct.
The problem with Jefferson and access to it is that it is only accessible if you go by ambulance on the freeway by the Vine. So you either get off on 8th or you get off on Broad Street. Remember, we used to have Hahnemann. Hahnemann is gone. So this ruins everything in terms of emergency access. There is only one access point. There's only one hospital. And for obstetric care, Pennsylvania Hospital is the obstetrics unit. Same problem. If you don't go by the Vine, you have to go lights and sirens through Center City, Society Hill, Old City, all of it, as we know, impossible. Impossible on the east side of Market Street. There's no way to do it. And the problem is you actually literally put Jefferson is like 10th Street, four more blocks to the south. The Vine is two or three blocks to the north. And you're putting a giant box in the middle of it. And the problem is it's an event space. It's an empty box. It's not going to help Chinatown. It's not going to help the restaurant district. It's not going to help everything. But 50 home games a year, we now as doctors have to say, wait a minute. Are the Sixers playing tonight? You can't go to Pennsylvania. You got to go. No, you better go. You better go to Temple. You can't go. Mm. You can't go south. Oh, no, you can't go. You better go to Penn Presbyterian. You can't go east. So we don't want to think about that as doctors. When I'm trying to tell a patient you need to go to the emergency room, I don't want to be thinking about traffic. Mm-hmm. And what, 50 days, 70 days, 100 days. Oh, there's a concert.
Yeah.
No,
I'm not laughing at what you're saying because it's about life. I'm just laughing by the way in which you're framing it.
It's
chuckling to me that the doctors now have to be concerned about traffic when your job is really to be prepared for who is in need of immediate care.
Right.
And now we got to keep up guard on the wall next to how the patients are listed. You know, oh, the Sixers have a game tonight.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, there's a concert tonight.
The concert.
I can get that. And looking at that, that seems a little unnecessary and not what you should be concerned about when you are telling someone.
You know what a great place to put arenas is? Mm-hmm. By a river. Because you know, like South Street, awesome. You know, you can down there in the South Philly sports complex, you have four ways out. You can go 95 north or south. Four freeways. You have 76 east or west. four ways out.
Absolutely.
When you go down to Center City, one, there's two exits to the same freeway, and it's gridlocked on every on a regular morning.
Regular basis, yes.
On a regular basis.
Let me ask.
If I could add quickly, because I am a stroke victim. Years ago, I suffered a stroke, and I know the speed in which they got to me. My wife was home. She can make that call, got the emergency people there. It was the difference in me living or dying. And it has to be personalized in this way that people who know the only reason they're living today is because of the speed in which I got to the hospital and the quality of the care that I got. I want that same thing for everybody in the city. Anything that threatens that is not worth it.
Wow. It's almost like one of my, someone else said, life over property or life over money. How much is a life worth?
Why are we doing it? Why do we need to move the Sixers Arena to the middle of town where it's like, I mean, isn't the Wells Fargo, like, I saw Prince there. It was awesome. I wouldn't have come to Center City, though.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think part of the issue has also been that the Sixers, who are also recording and who are practicing in Camden, they haven't changed their name. They're still the Philadelphia 76ers. So I think that they wanted them to come home, and I'm not aware of all the logistics, entanglements with the Wells Fargo Center. I think their lease is up in 2031. But we did build the Lincoln Financial Center after, and I'm going way back. I'm telling my age now.
25.
Because I'm talking. We had the stadium on Civic Center Boulevard.
She's telling it.
I'm telling it.
She's telling it. It's been told.
And the reason why it got tore down, come on, somebody, was not only because it was opposite a hospital. But part of the issue was that it was interfering, especially on game night. Come on, somebody. And then, you know, they got rid of the vet. I'm telling my age again, too. And they built the Lincoln Financial Center. So I guess in knowing the history of Philadelphia, I'm aware of the need for jobs, the need for progression, the need for the city to move in a more, shall I say, modern way. But I'm concerned, too, life over property. Because how do you explain to a family that we're so sorry, the ambulance couldn't get through the traffic and they only had but so much things on the ambulance to keep them alive and, you know, sorry. I don't know how any doctor or medical professional or first responder can bring comfort to a family should that happen. And if it's your family member, how would you feel? And that's the question that has been posed to me from different conversations I have had. You know, Archbishop, I can understand you can go and pray for people, but you're not going to tell me that my mother couldn't get to Jefferson because she had a stroke. And it's now the Sixers' fault. The doctors couldn't do nothing because of the traffic and the game and the concert and the this. I'm not going to understand that. And so from a humanistic point of view, and one who has been in the emergency room when a doctor has done all that they could and they've come out just on a regular basis, and there was grief, I don't know how this is not going to be multiplied in intensity once this may be prohibited. And we're talking about the center city of Philadelphia being torn up with new construction for 6 years.
Yeah, you know, one of our ER, one of the ER techs at Jefferson, now Jimmy Lowe, he's part of the No Arena Coalition. And he and I have been kind of this past couple months, you know, I mean, we didn't know each other. I mean, he works in, I've been happy to not be working every day in the ER. That was really not fun. But Jimmy We were over at Drexel talking to some of the medical students over there at an Asian Medical Students Association meeting, and he was demonstrating CPR in the ambulance, and you know we were reminding each other how exhausting that is to do CPR in the ambulance. It's about 5 minutes or 10 minutes in. I just recertified for my, you know, basic life support, did my CPR, and I forgot how exhausting it was. You know, during the pandemic, we did it online. You didn't really have to go, but I actually went back and said, no, I need to just remind myself. And it is. I was worn out. You know, I'm not even 60 yet, and I was worn out doing 5 minutes of CPR. But Jimmy, you know, reminded that you can't do adequate CPR in an ambulance for more than about 10 minutes. You need the other equipment we have in the ER, or you can even stay on site. But what the problem with the whole gridlock around Jefferson is that people are stuck in the ambulance. You can't give the drugs for stroke in the ambulance. You can't do the blood stopping for bleeding in the ambulance. You can't even do what the police do with trauma, which is scoop and run, because they're going to be stuck too. And so even that technique of don't even wait for the ambulance, just drive to Jefferson. You can't do that if you're going to be caught in gridlock.
Absolutely.
Lights and sirens don't work if you can't move the traffic out of the way.
Oh, I know that's right.
Yeah.
I know that's right. I'm retired police. It don't matter. Then people will sit at the red light just like this, and you'll be blop, blop, and they'll be looking, and you'll be like, move. And you can't go around because the traffic's coming the other way. You don't want to get into an accident. So I do understand that from a humanistic point of view and from one who has served, that lights and sirens do not always move traffic.
Yeah.
And that is a point that we can continue. Well, we're going to take a short break and we're going to come right back with Drs. Newman, King, and I guess I might as well say Dr. Holston.
That's right.
As well, because he has his doctors.
Oh, so we got three doctors
in
the house.
We got three docs in the house.
Is there a doctor in the house?
Gosh.
We got a couple deacons and pastors and, you know.
We got a mixed crew here. So why don't you stay tuned? At this moment, we're going to hear from Sports Doc Terry. Everything Sports Philly. Y'all know I'm crazy about Philly sports.
Come on,
and
Terry.
And we are
Terry.
Victory Monday. Free Dunkin' Donuts coffee. Come on, somebody.
Let me
put
this
back. Well, you got Wawa. Put it away. All right. We're going to hear from Sports Talk Terry right now with our 60-second update on sports. Good morning.
All right. It is an Eagles Monday. So, you know, obviously coming into one of their tougher challenges of the season against a potential Super Bowl matchup with the Baltimore Ravens. Lamar Jackson has dominated the NFC in his career, 25-1 record, and they did jump out to an early 9-0 lead. But as in typical Eagle fashion, he came back, led the way by Saquon Barkley. He continues to do it. Another 100-yard game with a touchdown, outperforming Derrick Henry, who had led the league in rushing most of the season. They were also able to stymie Lamar Jackson, just holding him, although he did have a good day, just holding him to two touchdowns on 237 yards passing. And so now next up, the Carolina Panthers for the Eagles. They have maybe one more tough game, according to most experts, in terms of odd favorites against the Steelers in 2 weeks. And then after that, just division foes the rest of the way. So Eagles look to be in pretty shape for one of those top conference spots, hoping to take home field advantage from the Detroit Lions. We'll see you next week.
All right. Thanks, Sports Talk Terry. You can catch him on all social medias at Sports Talk Terry, live here on the Bishop Mary Show weekly, because Bishop Mary is all about Philly sports.
Yes, she is.
I'm crazy. We're going to pray for the Sixers. All right. We're going to pray. Because now they getting ready to get it. If they get a new place, amen, come on. Maybe they'll help them with their record. We'll leave mm-hmm. that alone. But we're just going to take one more second for this particular in a quick moment of a song. And we're going to come back with the doctors.
That sounds like you.
That is my soul.
Bishop Mary on lead. Brother Marcus in the background. Oh. I did that for the deacon and the pastor.
That is my Sorai and Nesby.
Oh, yes, really? Okay.
The sounds of blackness.
All right.
All right, for the best sorority in the world, Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated. Hey, and that is my sister, honorary member, and Nesby. Nobody can deny her voice. Come on,
absolutely
somebody,
not.
Right up out of Philadelphia. And so we are back with Dr.
George Newman.
Yeah, Norm Newman and Dr. William King Jr.
And Dr. Reverend Gregory Holston.
Yes, indeed, indeed, indeed.
They have, first of all, I want to say thank you guys for, you know, being a part of the show today and giving some insight and some clarity on what you're thinking and feeling. Have any of your patients and or parishioners, like, had their concerns and brought them to you, like, you know, doctor or pastor, like, this is what I'm thinking and feeling? You know, have they come to you? And I want to start with Dr. Gregory Newman. Have any of your patients had concerns?
George.
So,
oh, I'm sorry.
Yes and no, but I'm going to point out that I retired on July 1st.
Oh, so good for you.
Happy retirement. Happy retirement.
I had a wonderful and long career, and I'm retired right now. And that's part of the reason that I have time to devote to this. Before we get to that, if we can, I'd like to go back to what the Archbishop was saying before. Mm-hmm. So your statement that you cannot, as a doctor, as an ER doctor, as a stroke doctor, as an EMS provider, you cannot say to a family, I'm sorry, but your loved one died in the ambulance because we couldn't get to the hospital. That is not okay. That is not acceptable. So that's why I became involved when I heard that. And I'd like to take a minute or two and explain this. I think it's important for everyone to understand that this is not, that there's reason that we're saying that this is wrong, that this idea of gridlock, it is not okay to put an arena in the middle of town, 3 or 4 blocks north of Jefferson, and know that there's going to be gridlock and think that that's all right. It is not okay. So everything needs to be done to avoid, to have a plan in place to avoid gridlock before you put this arena in there, before you approve it. And this has been the position that I believe is the way that we need to go. City Council needs to not say this is all right. They need to not give approval until there's a plan that avoids gridlock. And I'm going to take a minute. Please just let me. I'll do this as quickly as possible.
Certainly.
But the plan is not all right. We're looking at the plan that the Sixers and the city have proposed, and the plan doesn't work. So first of all, and I'd like to explain why. The analysis that was done that talked about the traffic that sets up the conditions for when you avoid gridlock, that was done after the game. Not coming into the stadium when we already have gridlock into the city, but after there's no traffic in the city, after all the traffic has left, you still have the risk of gridlock. And that doesn't count daytime. That doesn't count 6 o'clock at night when we already have gridlock. Okay? That analysis is not included. The analysis did not include the Vine. Dr. King talked about the problem with the Vine. The report of the Sixers is saying, we can't even analyze this. It's already oversaturated. There's no movement that's holding still anyway. There's nothing we can talk about it. And the other thing is that there's this, they need to get 2.5 people in every car on average. Let's be clear. We're talking about 3,000 additional cars coming into the city, okay? And 3,000 cars coming in the middle of our commuter traffic. Right. And that estimate that it'll be 3,000 cars that you have to keep down includes that you have 2.5 people on average in each car. In order to get to that number, they needed to include Oklahoma City. Oklahoma City has one-tenth our population and is 10 times larger than Philadelphia. It's nothing like Philadelphia, all right? So their assumptions are wrong. Their analysis is incomplete. And then in addition, and I wanna focus on this because everybody's hearing about SEPTA. Dr. King mentioned SEPTA. SEPTA's a big deal. SEPTA has to, in order to avoid gridlock, and this is by a plan that I'm even saying, even if you grant it, in order to avoid gridlock, you have to have about half of the people arriving at the stadium by SEPTA or PATCO. Now, this is why city council should not approve this until we are done, okay? In the plan, in the Sixers' own plan, they demand, but I mean they demand, that as part of the plan, the Sixers offer everybody who gets a ticket a free SEPTA pass or PATCO pass, a free one, no additional cost, okay? The Sixers agreed, and this is all ticket holders, as long as we do this, the Sixers agreed to season pass holders only for 1 year. And that's it. That's all they agreed to. So then if they don't agree to that, if they don't do this giving SEPTA, forget whether SEPTA can handle it. They have to give a free pass to SEPTA or PATCO. If they don't do that, it is virtually certain that there will be gridlock. And they have not agreed to it. In fact, they specifically denied doing it. So I'm saying to city council, you know, if the salesman isn't nice before he sells you the car, when do you expect him to be a good partner after you already buy the car? That doesn't work. So that's why it is absolutely essential that our city council get this plan straight before approval. That's my position.
Wow. I mean, you laid that out, Doctor.
Dr. George Newman. I said your name. I mixed the names up. But Dr. George
okay.
Newman.
Call me Greg. I like the name Greg. It's okay.
but you know, I see they pulled you out of retirement to do some justice for the city. So
absolutely.
We appreciate that.
Dr. Holston, with Blacks in support of Chinatown, mm-hmm. the biggest issue has been jobs. Jobs, jobs. Mm-hmm. This will create a lot of jobs, jobs, jobs. This will bring jobs, jobs, jobs. And everybody will have jobs, jobs, jobs. Jobs. The trades, construction, businesses will be able to flourish by the foot traffic, by the increased SEPTA traffic. All of these things that I'm hearing from listening to the hearings from those that are for this arena, they're saying that we as Blacks will be able to make big time
money in the city of Philadelphia,
a livable wage with these jobs, jobs, jobs. Now, I'm certain that Blacks for a Black supporting Chinatown have done their assessment. What has been your conclusion in regards to that?
Well, first of all, I would just report what the impact statement said. There will only be 700 permanent jobs from this. Only 700. When people sell this as a transforming act for the Black community, it is simply not. Secondly, they talk about temporary jobs.
How many?
Well, Ryan Boyer of the building trades at his testimony at the hearing said, I can't give you a number of how many even temporary jobs will be until all the specs are done. So we really have no idea of even on the temporary jobs, how many there will be. And particularly for these carpenter kind of jobs to be able to build the stadium, he indicated only 28% of the carpenters union or the building trades was African American. So most of these jobs are not going to African American people, as it is in every other development that goes on in this city. So the idea that somehow it's going to explode the number of jobs, I guess, is really premised around the 40% participation in contracts that's supposed to occur when the stadium is built. We don't know what that looks like. And as Councilman Jeffrey Young, I think, indicated, every time there's been an agreement from any of the stadiums, anything that's been built in the city over the last 40 years, and much of that I have known something about over these last 40 years, every time they have not met these kinds of specifications at any time, any number they have not gotten close to. And so the idea that somehow this stadium is going to be such a boom for North Philadelphia and West Philadelphia, it's just incorrect. But it also just sets a dangerous precedent for development going forward, because when the impacted community says no and you ignore it and they come up with this idea of a citywide agreement, do you think they're not going to do that all over the city? You don't think Temple is going to bring up Temple Stadium again and say, oh, it has this great citywide impact, so ignore the impacted community right there. We're going to build a stadium 100 feet from people's homes. Do you think that's going to stop a University of Penn from continuing its expansion in West Philadelphia when now it doesn't have to worry about what the impacted community says? Do you think Temple University is going to stop doing its expansion if it does not have to be now concerned about what the impacted community feels? We fought for RCO process, registered community organizations. We fought for a process that will always include input from the community and almost a veto power that if the community said no, it's not going to happen. They're, with this precedent, destroying that, all of that organizing went to make sure that happened. And now we'll have developers doing what they want, going to council people, using their billions in influence, and always making a citywide argument instead of an argument about the impacted community.
I hear you, and I'm you referenced Temple University, and of course there was the intent several years ago for them to build a stadium right in the heart of North Philadelphia on Broad Street. And they wanted to, I forgot how many people they were talking. I believe it was upwards of 10,000 people.
And the stadium, like 30,000.
30,000. Oh, wow. And the stadium stompers, they were known as the stadium stompers. That's what they were. That's what they were called. They had rallies. They got the RCOs. They raised some sand with Temple, and they withdrew at that point the project. They developed the Leo Chorus, which was fine because it was in the same space, modernized it a little bit, and that was okay for the community to accept it without destroying the vibrant of the North Philadelphia community, particularly for the homeowners. I remember sitting at one meeting, and this woman was 80-something, and she got to the mic, and she said, I bought my house for $15,000 55 years ago. This has only been my home, and it's where I want to die. How dare you take away that right? When I work three jobs to pay off my mortgage, I should be able to stay. I mean, she had the whole place in tears by the time she got done, and it took her voice, frail on oxygen in a wheelchair. She says, I don't have long, but don't kill my dream while I'm still here. And when you see and you hear the humanistic part of it, and let me be clear, I'm all for progression. I'm all for progress. I'm all for things that are going to be good, but it has to happen. And with everything, there's good and bad. But when there is an outcry, and you mentioned it, Dr. Holston, that we have an RCO process. That's how communities decide what will or will not happen. And so are we now going to eliminate that, and then our elected officials or the powers that be will be able to make those decisions for us? That's a question that someone just sent to me. They said, so if the RCO process isn't being adhered to, what voice do we have?
The reason we're here, You have a retired white doctor, a black doctor who is in private practice, and a black reverend, because the Chinese community said, when we were at that meeting, please please will you come talk? Please will you come explain the medical part? Because nobody is listening to us. The problem that I felt was that sense of injustice. I know our community would not have put up with this. I know the white community in South Philly wouldn't have put up with this. I know the Latino community east of Broad would not have put up with this. And so that idea that somehow because the Chinese American community is small, it's only, you know, six blocks by eight blocks, and we think we can roll over them. I don't like that idea. As a black professional, I don't like the idea of being part of an implied consent with that. What about the jobs that are going to be lost in Chinatown? Because I'm a small business person. Having 5 or 10,000 people pour out of a building doesn't help you fill a restaurant. Nobody can work with those people that just ate in the arena and then poured out, not looking for food, but looking to find their cars. What you know is now 100 nights a year, nobody's coming to Chinatown because they know they can't find parking. They know they can't get through the traffic. So nobody's going to buy any ramen. Nobody's going to get dumplings. Nobody's going to get any good food. So you've lost 100 nights a week. That's got to be hundreds of jobs. What about the Wells Fargo Center, where they already have, you know, you're losing 100 nights of bookings. So those 700 people, aren't they already working at the Wells Fargo Center? What are you talking about, new jobs?
Wow.
The thing is, and why can't we? What about South Philly? I mean, if you're taking out business from that South Philly sports complex, those are empty boxes. To put an empty box in Center City, but they just put $500 million into fixing up that Xfinity, Comcast, that whole arena. What about the Vet? Can't we put the new stadium where the Vet was? How about putting it where the Spectrum was? Isn't there a bunch of real estate right there? What about Penn's Landing? Why are we doing it there? And why isn't Jefferson speaking up?
Wow.
We don't understand why isn't Comcast speaking up?
Oh, wait a minute. Comcast has spoken up on this. They have proposed other alternatives.
Yeah, we love that. The tech center, the science tech center in East Market, that sounds awesome.
Yes, it does.
I would love to send my pipeline high school kids down to East Market to go learn some tech stuff. You put that in the Gallery Mall, you know? Yeah. I mean, that would be a great thing.
Everybody said the reason that they did the gallery was to boost business. Then, of course, the pandemic hit. And so now people are starting to come back.
Empty box doesn't boost business down there.
No. And it does
empty, except during the game.
And someone else, I hear a buzz. Someone else said, how come we can't do it on? Oh, why can't we build it off of the Delaware River, Delaware Avenue? There's plenty of real estate by the river. As you mentioned, Dr. King, we could probably do that with less gridlock, although there may be some of the businesses that are on Delaware Avenue.
We don't want gridlock by our hospital. Just don't put it by our hospital.
There you go. There's that.
don't put it in the community where half the businesses are going to be destroyed by it.
Yeah, China. Don't wreck Chinatown.
And I remember the impact that it had when we did the Vine.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, we hurt them already. You know, we went right through their heart.
We already have done a lot to damage Chinatown. We also could be at the Naval Base. The Naval Base is still a very big space.
Oh, my goodness.
And they could have lots of people coming into it. And it's right down there. So it has all the same traffic patterns that are available to be able to get in and out. That is the beauty of the sports complex. And let me also say, Philadelphia has been known to not appreciate what it has, to run after some vision of what other cities do. The sports complex is unique. Nobody has all four teams playing in the same area in different stadiums. That area itself, Comcast has agreed, should be developed. Mm-hmm. We could put hotels down there. We could put restaurants down there, all new business kind of stuff. Put the parking under the ground, give plenty of ways to use that area and really develop that area, section of town. They're supposed to be doing some things around the World Cup in that area as well. And they've already built up FDR or Park as an idea. You have a great opportunity. They have also the refinery area that's now going to have a whole new housing developments and much to talk about that in terms of environmental issues. But still, that's going to be there. All of that development is happening. It's right to have an additional stadium down there in a way that doesn't impact that community and takes advantage of all these growth opportunities that are happening right down there instead of the middle of town.
Well,
yeah,
yes.
And you wouldn't have to wreck two hospitals to do it either.
Wow. And life would still be able to be saved. And so, boy, I'm telling you, the hour has gone really quick.
Yeah, I can't believe
it. It's already that time. And so just if you all each wouldn't mind giving an appeal to those that are listening for about 30 seconds each so we can close out our show today, we certainly would be grateful for you. We'll start with our retiree,
yes,
who's happy.
Thank you. Very simply, there is no plan in place to avoid gridlock. And putting gridlock outside our major trauma center in Center City makes no sense at all. It simply makes no sense at all. And there should not be approval. City Council must not approve this plan until there is an adequate traffic and emergency preparedness plan in place. And they can't do that or people are going to be dying from it. And no one wants that.
All right. Dr. King.
Yeah, you know, Cindy Bass up in Germantown, you know, if you're listening, please listen some more and tell them to slow down. Jamie Gaultier has already begun listening, and we think she's going to help say, wait a minute, what are we doing? Quetzi Lozada in North Philly, she has to step in and say, hey, wait a minute, you're not helping us. Nina Ahmad down in South Philly, she needs to speak up and say, hey, this Chinatown idea is bad. Come to South Philly. There's some specific city council people. There's about five maybes to say no. And just four more city council people have to agree to not do this for a minute. And then I think the Sixers developers will walk away because all they want is money. I don't think they're trying to help Chinatown. I don't think they're helping our hospitals.
All right.
So we say stay in South Philly.
All right. And all right. Dr. Holston.
25 years ago, I started my pastoral career at Tinley Temple Church in South Philadelphia. And then we were trying to build the Avenue of the Arts, and the Avenue of Arts was going to provide all of these jobs and transform the Black community and all this economic growth is going to happen for the Black community. But part of that project tore down the two MLK Tate Towers, but also took about 100 Black homeowners through eminent domain and took their properties.
Wow.
I stood with them.
Yes, sir.
As they cried, as they looked at the little bit of money that they were receiving for their property, place that they'd been for over 100 years, some.
Yes.
Came straight from freedom. Some even traced their roots back to before the Civil War.
Yes, sir.
Philadelphia, the town of where you would come from, Maryland, Eastern Shore, to have freedom. And their city let them down.
Wow.
We didn't listen to the impacted people then.
We need to listen now.
We need to listen now.
Felt like doing.
Wow.
And I promised those people then and anybody that was like them that I would stand up for those who are impacted communities who go through the same thing.
Amen. So we are grateful. We're about to get cut off. And so we're grateful that you're here on the Bishop Mary Show.
Thank you,
please
gentlemen.
Feel free to check it out on the podcast and it'll be posted shortly. And you can certainly copy and share. I'll make sure that you each get a copy if you would like to share it with others as well. We are grateful to have you. Thank you, Brother Marcus.
Thank you, Bishop Mary.
And a great shout out to Zion Baptist Church for a fabulous citywide prayer service yesterday. It was lit. Let's keep praying, people. And remember what Bishop Mary says. If you can't be good, be careful.
Be careful.
If you can't be careful, don't do it. It may not be worth it.
It's not worth
all
it.
Right. Take care. God bless you.
God bless.
Thanks for tuning in to another dynamic show with Bishop Mary. To contact Bishop Mary, call 833-722-4748. That's 833-722-4748. and she'll get right back to you. Remember, let the healing begin with you. See you next week for another great time together on the Bishop Mary Show.